Hallelujah.
We give God another praise in this place. Praise you like you mean it, like you love him, like you've been good, he's been kind and gracious. You're an awesome, awesome and mighty God we serve. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, praise team, for ushering in the presence. We're going to have a quick word of prayer. That miracle, the little ones, the 11 and under crew, she's going to take y'all across the hall. We're going to have a quick word of prayer and before we get in this word. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for a new day. Your word says that new days give us new mercies and new grace. I pray, oh God, today, oh God, that you just move in such a way, Father God, that hearts are changed and minds are renewed. We pray, Father God, right now, Father God, as you begin to do a new thing in us, oh God, that whatever the former things were, we begin to let those things go. Even if the former things were good, we want to receive new from you, oh God. We believe whatever you have for our future is better than our past. So, God, we hand it over to you this morning. Father God, all our cares, all our problems, all our concerns, we give them to you and say, Father God, let us move everything out the way so that you can have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. The little ones, 11 and under, y'all can roll next door. Oh, miracles don't get them. All who are able, please stand for a reading of God's word. 1 Samuel 16 is where we will be at today, y'all. 1 Samuel chapter 16, starting with verses 1 through 3. And it reads as follows. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "You have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king." But Samuel asked, "How can I do that? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." "Take a heifer with you," the Lord replied, "and say that you have come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you which one of his sons to anoint for me." Y'all already know today's message, man. Look at somebody and say, oil change, amen.
Oil change.
Yeah, that's the wrong purpose. Tell somebody else, oil change. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen and amen. I remember my first car. I had a Cavalier and my mom and almost all my families worked at General Motors, so they get discounts on cars, and I didn't want a new car. I was cool with giving me a Dell. I was cool with a Dell. I was cool with an 88. I didn't really need all that. When my mom and my grandma and them, no, we didn't put all this time in General Motors. Boy, I get this discount. You're going to get this car. So they got me a new car at a young age, and it was a Cavalier. And one thing, they got me the car, but nobody really told me about how to take care of a car. So I got this new car, and it was rolling good for a couple of years. Everything was good. Had really no problems with it. And one day I'm chilling with my dad. I pulled up. He said, "Boy, your engine ticking." I said, "What you mean?" He said, "You can't hear that? When the last time you had an oil change?" And really, I didn't have an answer for him. I didn't know the last time I had an oil change. He looked at the date last received on my car. He said, "Your engine about to go out." Because you didn't change the oil.
Jesus.
Because you didn't take care of the oil that was in the car,
Jesus.
Everything is about to go out.
My God.
We've talked about on this series the importance of what staying in your lane, first of all. Mm-hmm. We've seen the ramifications of taking dangerous detours also. But one thing is for certain, if you're traveling on a journey using your GPS, you eventually will need an oil change.
Come on.
Let's talk about the importance of oil real quick. Bring you up to speed. The primary purpose of the anointing oil with the holy oil was to sanctify, to set apart a person or an object. The word in Hebrew is kadesh. It is to kadesh. In English, it's holy. It means to set apart a person or an object. This is what the oil was used for. So we first find the oil used. when God is giving instructions to Moses. He says, Moses, I need you to build a tabernacle. I need you to get a crew to get the incense altars together. I need you to get the Ark of the Covenant together. And for the priestly instructions, I got to use the oil. Look at this. God said, collect these choice spices for the oil. You got to have pure myrrh. You can't have no myrrh. Give me pure myrrh. You can't have no little myrrh. It got to be pure. He said, you got to have fragrant cinnamon.
Yeah.
You got to have fragrant calamus and cassia. All these fragrances had to be between 12 and a half pounds and 6 1/4 pounds. That's how much they had to use of all these spices. And then he said, get 1 gallon of olive oil. Mix it together to get this holy anointing oil that God commanded Moses to have. So they would use this oil for what? The tabernacle. I said the Ark of Covenant, the tables, all its utensils, the lampstands, all of its accessories, incense altars, the altar burnt offerings, the sacrifices, the utensils, the wash basins. Everything was used to consecrate and make holy through the oil.
Come on, teach us.
Then he tells Moses, look here, I need you to anoint Aaron and his sons, the priests. I need you to put oil on their head to consecrate them. That was a sign of consecrating, meaning that God has set them apart. And he said, never use the oil for yourself.
My God.
It was exclusively used for the priests and the tabernacle. But it was later used for what? Kings. We see Saul. He's our first king, right? And what did Samuel do? He anointed him with oil. See, the anointing oil was a purifying, cleansing, separating, and consecrating, which was a symbol of the Holy Spirit.
My God.
See, one thing about God, we just now catching up. He always knew his power in the oil.
That's it.
Yeah, he always knew his power in the oil. In the natural, oil is known as the lifeblood of the industrialized nations.
Yeah.
Oil has become the world's most important source of energy since the 1950s. It produces the underpin of modern society, supplying energy to power industry, heat to our homes, fuel for our vehicles and airplanes, so we can take goods all over the world. There's power in the oil. So when we left off, y'all, Saul has been rejected as king. If you miss 1 and 2, you got to go back and listen, because I can't catch you up. I can't go back too far. But Saul, watch this. He let his oil pressure get too low. Ooh, Saul, king, anointed by God. But he let his oil pressure get too low. But not respecting the order of God and what God told him to do. He said, I can do things my way. I'm the king. I'm driving the vehicle. So it means what? I'm driving the vehicle. I have the influence.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it my way. And he let his oil get too low. See, modern cars have this. When the oil pressure drops to a certain level or gets too low, the engine stalls and dies.
Yeah.
Modern cars know that when the oil pressure gets too low, the engine locks up.
Yeah.
Can't produce nothing else.
Jesus.
Won't nothing cost you your favor, your destiny, your position in life to stall or die like your oil getting low.
God. My God.
You see, Saul does what he want to do and his oil stops. He loses his kingdom. He gets rejected by God. But Saul ain't the only one that's happened, so this ain't no one in those situations. The pastor got some receipts, amen. Miriam was a prophetess, Moses' sister. Y'all know Miriam, Moses' sister. When Moses got put in that basket in the Nile River, that was Miriam who followed to make sure he got to Pharaoh's house safely. Miriam came to him. I'm your sister. This is your brother Aaron. She encouraged her brother Moses. God chose you to free out people. Matter of fact, when they go through the Red Sea, Exodus 15, I believe, is a chapter. It's a thing called Miriam's Song of Deliverance. She made a whole song about how good God is, taking them out of Egypt and giving them freedom. But it got hard in the wilderness. They was thirsty. They was hurting. And she tripping. Moses and Aaron is leading the thing. And they ain't got no water. And she says, you know what? I'm going to side with the people. Moses, you getting on my nerves. You ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing. You ain't the only person God speaks to. Now, God speak to me in my dreams. I talk to God too. And God said, hold up. But Moses, who I chose, she got leprosy.
My God.
Sick unto death. Because she disrespected the order of God. Her oil got low. She didn't get to the promised land. Judas was part of the 12 disciples. Handpicked by Jesus. Handpicked. Jesus picked that man. Yeah, matter of fact, when Jesus sent them out two by two to go and teach and cast out demons, Judas was there casting out demons in Jesus' name. Yes, that's what Judas was doing. Yes, he was. Got taught face to face by Jesus. Had the best pastor and the best leader and still betrayed him. Don't take offense, y'all, but if anybody betrayed me, it's all good. I understand. Amen. Yeah. And if somebody would betray Jesus, who am I? Amen. I say, God, thank you for letting me get some of your suffering in. Because it don't matter if he will betray Jesus, who are we to think people won't betray us? See, Judas cast out devils, witnessed miracles, gave up his apostleship, his oil for his life, for 30 pieces of silver. See, it wasn't about the betrayal, because Peter betrayed Jesus too. Peter denied him three times. But Peter lived and got to preach the first sermon at the Pentecost. Judas killed himself because he gave up his oil. Samson, we know Samson. My strength is in my hair. Samson, filled with the Holy Spirit since he was a baby, since birth. Had unmeasurable strength, but he was called a Nazarite, which means he had to keep a few things. A Nazarite must never drink any liquor or hard wine. A Nazarite must never cut his hair. And a Nazarite wasn't to touch anything dead or sleep with women. That was his call to his life. And we know Samson did amazing things. He killed 1,000 enemies with a jawbone of a donkey. Just strong. He ripped the gates from the city and tore them apart. But guess what? He had a problem with women. He couldn't stop sleeping around. And then because that came into his life, then he started drinking more. He was breaking all his Nazarite covenants, losing his oil. And then he finally got hold of a sister named Delilah and gave up his oil and told her where his strength was at.
Jesus.
And lost all his strength and was made blind because he gave up his oil. All of them lost favor, changed their destiny, and lost their positions in life because they lost their oil. 16:1 said, now the Lord said to Samuel, you have mourned long enough for Saul. I've rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with oil, go to Bethlehem, find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king. God said, Samuel, I got something for you to do. But you're tripping right now. Your grief over someone who don't want my guidance is a problem. Y'all hear what I said? Y'all hear what I said? Samuel, I got a job for you. But you grieving off somebody that don't even want my guidance. Come on. I need that to end.
Yeah.
Your sympathy for someone who's insubordinate to me.
Jesus.
Y'all want to hear the truth? I need you to let that go. He's been rejected and replaced. Y'all ain't trying to help me preach. Can I suggest to you that some of y'all are wasting time tearing up on what God told you to tear up? You wasting and you crying tears. God said, why you crying over him? He picked his bed. He laying in it. Why you wasting all those tears? Why you wasting all that time? Why you crying? You all out of whack. Get over that. I got something new for you to do. He won't even follow my instructions and you crying over that? It's time to get up and move.
That's right.
Let's go.
God says, Sam, I need you to move. Watch this. By faith, I've given you the place, Bethlehem. I've given you the person, Jesse. And I've given you the prophecy that one of his sons will be king.
Yeah.
But Samuel, like, how can I do that? It's all crazy. If you hear about it, he's going to kill me. I seen him last time. Look in his eyes. He all out of whack. He ain't got your spear. He got the oil no more. Ain't no limit to what he would do. He'll kill me. God said, don't worry about that. Take a heifer. Come make a sacrifice to the Lord. I got you. Because watch this. One thing about Saul, he crazy and ain't got no oil, but he know not to step in the way anymore of God's sacrifices. Yeah, that's what started off his rejection. So you know, anything else, he know he better not step foot and mess up another sacrifice or he gonna have to deal with me. So don't worry about that. Make a sacrifice to God. So you gotta know who God is. And when God told you to do something, that don't matter what your demon or demon say, it don't matter what the devil say, it don't matter what the enemy say. If God told me to do it, I'm gonna be protected while I'm doing it. The will of God won't take me where the grace of God won't keep me. And if I got God with me, he gonna be there for me. So he says, do what I tell you to do. Invite Jesse over, and I'll show you which son to anoint.
Okay.
Whew, verse 4, y'all. So Samuel did as the Lord instructed. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town came trembling to meet him. What's wrong, they asked. Do you come in peace? My God. See, one thing we can't get away from this series is the AI. I'm going to say it all the time. The anointing and the instructions. Samuel is hurt. He's upset. He's crying. He's grieving because of Saul, but he doesn't let that get in the way of his obligation to God. Ooh, yeah, yeah. I hope somebody hear me there. Samuel hurt. He cried. He upset, but he don't let nothing get in the way of his obligation to God. Yeah, yeah, that trips me out sometimes. Lady Thomas kind of touched on that a little bit. That's actually in my message. Because people make us mad in the church, and we quit church. People make us mad and upset everywhere else. It's like the first thing we give up on is God. It's like people on your job, you don't quit your job. And people talking about you on your job, you don't quit your job. It's people that act a fool in your family, you don't quit your family. It's people that friends that lied on you, and you ran back to them and gave them 10 as a chance. Funny, we let everything get in the way of our obligation to God. Samuel is hurt, but he said, I got a job to do for my God. Whoo, see, when a prophet shows up, it's usually bad news. Because Israel is a rebellious nation. God chose them, but they crazy. Amen. And we should raise our hands too. God chose me, and I'm crazy too. Praise God. I got some issues too. Sometimes I do what I want to do and don't do what God. I need all of you to help me every single day. I need you 24/7, 365. I need you 7 days a week. All that. So Israel is tripping, y'all. He says, look here. No. Sam's like, I come in peace. Elders, y'all come with me and purify yourself. I come to make a sacrifice. Go and get Jesse's sons. I come in peace. Ain't no drama today. We about to have a good time. Look at this. Verse 6, y'all. When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. Wow. I got to pause right there for a second. Amen. Samuel is the first prophet to anoint a king. Nobody has done this. So Samuel is the only person in history right now that has on-the-job experience. Nobody has ever done this before, right? So I'm not sure if you remember what the Bible said about Saul. It said he was the most handsome man in all Israel. And he stood a head foot above everyone else. So he was cute and tall. Amen. He had it going on. That's what Saul was. Cute and tall. So this first son walks up. And Samuel's like, it gotta be him. Why would he say that? Because I'm sure he resembled Saul in some way. Yeah, yeah. He automatically thought he got king qualities because of how he looked.
Yeah.
I can see what it is. This is God picked last time.
Yeah.
Me and God tight like that. Me and God got a relationship. He talked to me. So I'm sure this is who God wants to be king.
Yeah.
Let's look at what God say though. Verse 7.
Yeah.
But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height. For I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Y'all caught y'all shout. Few of y'all caught y'all shout. Y'all caught that. Amen. Y'all received that. Amen. Okay. I love this. God just drops some heaviness on us. In the world of sports, it's something called the eye test. Amen. I don't know if anybody ever heard of that. Some of my fellas may feel me more than my ladies on this one. But it's called the eye test. And the way they judge an athlete, especially when they're about to draft them and pick them into the league, they said, look here, I go by my own observation. It's called the eye test. They watch you play, but they also line you up. They measure you. They watch you do your vertical jump. It's like lining up LeBron James and Steph Curry. If you look at it, LeBron is bigger, taller, faster, stronger, so he has to be the better player. Has to be. Like, there's no way somebody like Steph Curry would even be included in his class because the eyes, you see what you see. And LeBron is bigger, stronger, and faster than Steph Curry, right? Only thing you would give Steph something is shooting, but it's based on what you see with your two eyes. See, the eye test had this happen. Kobe Bryant is a high school kid, the first guard ever to enter the NBA draft. He slid in the draft in that year, 1996, the best draft class ever drafted. Amen. Somebody disagree, we can argue at the church. But 1996 was the best draft class ever. All kind of Hall of Famers, all kind of people in that class, right? And it's a trip. Kobe Bryant entered that draft class in 1996. And what's crazy is I watched a documentary over it, and Minnesota wanted him at 4. But they said, we just picked Kevin Garnett last year. He was a high school player. I'm going to lose my job if I pick another one. I can't pick no more high school kids. They couldn't do it. Boston wanted him. Danny Ainge said, man, he had the best workout I've ever seen personally. But Boston took Antoine Walker. Who else from New Jersey wanted him at 8? But John Calipari was a new coach. And he said, look here, I got to keep my job. I need somebody that can produce right now. I'm going to take care of the kiddos. He was a senior in college. So we know Allen Iverson, Ray Allen, Sharif Abdul-Rahim, Marcus Camby, all these Hall of Famers and good players were in this draft ahead of Kobe because they had a better eye test. But they looked on the outside, they seen a skinny high school kid. But there was one person named Jerry West. God must have spoke to him. He said, I don't know what it is about this kid, but we got to have him. I'm willing to trade Vlade D back a good center. I hope he slides to 14th. And my beloved Pacers could have had Kobe. My God, pray for me. Still hurt about that. The 11th pick, the Pacers could have. We picked Eric Dampier. Lord have mercy. We could have had Kobe. Y'all know we could have had Kobe. We picked Eric Dampier. He slid all the way to 14 and was picked by Charlotte and was tripped out due to the eye test. He didn't deserve to be the best player in that class. But nobody knows what was in his heart. Jerry West, only one that knew, he got a killer inside of him. He got the same quality that I seen before. While everybody else is picking everybody else, his heart different. I just need about five people to get excited with me. That's just about five of y'all. And thank God he don't operate like man operate. Yeah. I thank God my looks didn't come into play. I thank God my height didn't come into play. I thank God my weight didn't come into play. I thank God none of that came into play because of it. Would have rejected me. I thank God that he looks at my heart. I thank God he looks at my faith. He looks at my character. He looks at my integrity. I thank God he picks the way he picks, because if he didn't, so many of us would be disqualified by men's standards. We live in a time where people associate the outside with the inside. Yeah. Whatever's on the outside has to be on the inside. Like, I'm going to tell you, it's different. Y'all don't mind if I quote Kanye real quick, amen? He said, I seen the prettiest people do the ugliest things. Yes. On the road to riches and diamond rings, amen. That it's a trip. We look on the outside and think everything is good. Yes. But on the inside, people are corrupt, twisted, and evil. Thank God that he looks at us like that. So, beloved, hear me clearly. Your heart posture is the most important attribute you got for God. Your heart posture. Can God trust your heart to love him in tough times? Can God trust you to obey him when it's hard? Can God trust you to be faithful over a little thing? Can God trust you to be faithful when it ain't adding up? Can God trust you to be faithful when things ain't going like they're supposed to? Can God trust you to be faithful when things are low and small? Can he trust you? Our heart posture matters, y'all. See, in custom times, watch this, the oldest is usually entitled to the blessing. That's how it works. The oldest, and it's like that a lot of times, even in our day and era, the oldest is entitled to the blessing. So I'm sure Jesse told his sons, watch this, to go before God in the way they are in their age group, right? In the order. But God says no. He says no to Eli. So Jesse tells Abinadab, another son, you go forward. God say no. He says another son, Shamir, you go forward. God says no. The Bible says in the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel, but God has not chosen any of them. He bought all seven of his sons one by one to present them before Samuel, because he was told one of his sons would be king. And God ain't spoke to none of them. Look at Samuel's response, verse 11. Then Samuel asked, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse replied. But he's out in the fields, watching the sheep and goats. Send for him at once, Samuel said. We will not sit down to eat until he arrives. Woo! Y'all catch me today. Y'all catch me today. Samuel's confused. He know God is speaking. He know what God said. He said, go down to Bethlehem. Anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king. Jesse don't follow the instructions. See, when instructions aren't followed, the anointing can't flow. Can I help you? You can't get away from anointing and instructions. If you ain't willing to follow instructions, if you ain't willing to obey, God can't move through disobedience. See, disobedience is dysfunction. It ain't how God moves. God got to move through obedience and integrity, because that's part of who he is. Jesse is trying to control who the oil flows to. Ooh, parents trying to help you today. You can't control who got the oil. You can't control who it flows to. God picks who he wants to pick. God said, I love Jacob and I hate Esau. God picks who he picks. You can't choose who the oil goes to. Every time parents get involved and try to choose the oil, it's always another kid they didn't expect. So Jesse tried to control the oil. See, only God gets to choose the invitation to the oil. Because God is looking at the heart. So Jesse got the invite for him and his sons and left one behind. Man, it's cold blooded. The prophet knows God isn't speaking and says, look here, I don't care if he watches sheep. I don't care if he with the goats. Get him over here until he arrives. I'm tripping right here though. Why wasn't David invited? I found a problem right there. He said, bring all your sons.
Yeah.
He said, bring all your sons. We're having a sacrifice. One of them going to be king.
Yeah.
But David wasn't invited. Can I give you a suggestion? Scholars suggest this. This is what scholars say. The reason David didn't get invited is because David is born out of an adulterous relationship.
My God.
Yeah. He got seven sons all lined up. But he leaves the youngest. The reason scholars believe this is because in Psalms 51, when David is repenting about what he did with Bathsheba and got caught up in his mess and his adultery, he said this, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Well, I know one thing, if you marry, you're not fornicating, so you can't be conceived in sin. So how was he conceived in sin? The only way he could possibly be conceived in sin is either they weren't married, or his father cheated with his mother.
Oh my God.
So your father, by all your brothers, thought they were all worthy enough to be invited.
Come on.
But not you.
Come on.
See, they didn't know what was going on with David, y'all. See, David was the youngest of Jesse's sons and responsible for tending the sheep, y'all. Mm. My God, he spent many days and nights watching over his father's flock in a lonely desert.
Come on.
He's a shepherd.
He's a shepherd by himself.
And in fact, he uses a couple of those times in another battle. He said, look, here was times when I was by myself. A lion came, a small cub, and God gave me the strength to kill that cub. I hit that lion in the head with a club so it didn't take my sheep. He said, another time a bear came and tried to take the sheep, and God was with me and gave me strength to beat up that bear so it don't take my sheep. So while the other brothers are doing whatever they're doing, David by himself in a lonely desert, getting experience. He by himself in the desert. See, David learning how to be a shepherd because one day God said, you're going to shepherd my people. I'm giving you the experience you need right now, and I'm finding a trip. We get mad that we ain't where we think we should be, and God said, I'm giving you experience. God said, look, I got you in what seemed low right now. I got you in a not favorable position. I got you where you seem low and out, where people think it ain't nothing. I got you down and out right now, but you don't understand how I work. Lean on me. Trust me. Give me your heart, mind, and spirit. I'm trying to bring you over here, but there's some things I'm trying to work out in you first. Your faith got to get to another level. Your integrity got to get to another level. Your responsibility got to get to another level. Your trust in me got to get to another level. So while David thinking in a lonely desert and doing nothing, God is preparing him. You better learn quick, y'all. Stop worrying about how folks see you and worry about how God see you. Y'all heard what? You better learn this quick. Worry about how folks see you. Worry about how God see you.
Because
if I would have listened to people, I would have never been a pastor. If I listened to people, I would have never started preaching. If I listened to people, I would have never gave my life to Christ. If I would listen to people, I would have never got in my Bible like that. No. You better stop worrying about what people say and worry about God says. See, God's so good, and you worry about what he say, he gonna always bring somebody in your life to affirm what he told you. That's how God works. You gonna think you crazy at times. You gonna think you lonely at times. You ain't got nobody. And God gonna say, no, I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna send somebody to help you. When Elijah was in the cave going crazy, he said, ain't no more prophets. It's 700 prophets of Baal. I'm by myself. I'm going crazy. God said, no, you ain't, bro. I got 5,000 prophets I reserved. You just don't know about them yet. See, the thing is, we think we know everything God doing. We don't know nothing. We think you know what God's doing. You don't know God's next move. You don't know God 2, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 steps ahead for your life. But the problem is, you only see your next move. And because your next move ain't your best move, I'm trying to help somebody today, your next move ain't your best move, you get frustrated, you quit on God, and take steps backward. And God said, look here, I got more moves set up for you. You keep going backwards, you prolonging your blessing. You prolonging your destiny. You prolonging your next season. You prolonging it because you won't stay in my will.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
David don't even know what God about to do in his life. He just happy to serve. Y'all missed that, amen. Y'all missed that. He don't even know what the plans is. He don't know that Saul been rejected. He don't know Saul lost the oil. He don't know that Sam. He don't even know Samuel coming. He don't know he got a 1/8 of a chance. He don't even know he got a 1/8 of a chance to be the next king. He has no idea. He think they're going to have dinner, a family dinner he just ain't invited to. He has no idea what God is about to do in his life, y'all. But he's still being obedient. He's still taking care of the sheep and goats. He's still on his post. Trying to show y'all how God works. Woo. Verse 12 and 13, y'all. So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, this is the one. Anoint him. So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. And then Samuel returned to Ramah. Woo, Jesus. He was the youngest, a teenager, probably the smallest person in the room. Because he's the youngest. I love this. David, he gets summoned because he wasn't invited. Yeah, he gets summoned, amen. I love this. He gets left off the invitation list and then gets to make the grand entrance, amen. That's the God we serve. That you can be left off the list. You cannot get the invite. Everybody look, how you get in here? Who invited you? Who you know? I know God. He got favor on my life. Imagine walking in that room. You see your daddy and all your brothers chilling, table made up, sacrifice ready, about to eat good. And you've been in there with the sheep and goats. Everybody lined up waiting. He comes in the room and the Lord says, this is the one. Anoint him. Woo, I love it. I love how God works. Imagine going into a room where originally you didn't get an invitation. And then standing in front of everyone and God giving you vindication, my God. Imagine going into a room. Woo. They didn't want your presence in. Then standing in front of everybody and God give you the stamp of approval. See, God is about to do something crazy. Oh, my God. He's letting everybody. This is why David wrote so many Psalms. Y'all got to understand it. See, Psalm 23 said this. God will prepare a table before me. Y'all don't know nothing about David. Y'all know who David is. He will prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. In that season, my enemies was my daddy and my brothers and them. They didn't believe in me. They didn't invite me. They didn't care enough to include me. They didn't care about none of that. So God had to prepare a table before me in the presence of all of them. That when I walk in, God said, this is the one. Anoint him, my God, my God. It's only for about three of y'all, amen. It's for you. You ought to give God a shout. But you've been faithful, amen. You've been serving God. You had the right heart. You've been doing things that made me seem insignificant, amen. Are you serving at that little church? Are you carrying your pastor bag? Are you praying for them? Are you cleaning up? You doing all this stuff. You think all this stuff is insignificant. I'm here to tell you, don't ever think anything you do for God is insignificant. The more little stuff you do, the more he prepares you for the big stuff. The more little stuff you do, how do you know? Because I know I've walked the path. I ain't gonna tell you nothing that didn't work in my own life. See, now realizing God is training you for greater. See, once David got the oil, y'all, it said the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. From that day on, amen. Yeah, I need it from that day on, praise. Yeah, from that day on, David had the power to defeat giants. Yeah, from that day on, David had the ability to play the harp and heal people and cast out demons from that day on. From that day on, my God, people would affirm him and tell him who he was and how great he was and how God would do things in his life. From that day on, I'm sorry, I don't need nothing else. You keep fame, you keep social media status, you keep all that. I just need to know from that day on, God with me. From that day on, God protected me. From that day on, he answered my prayer. From that day on, he blessed my family. When you let God oil pour into your life and give him your heart, you should have a from that day on praise. It said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. God gave David all he could handle and all he could have because he got the oil. See, if you had Saul titties, I'm done with this, y'all. If you had Saul titties in your life, amen. Because let's be for real. We gotta give God our hearts.
Yeah.
And thank God that we got grace that Saul didn't get. He had the grace, but he messed it up the second time when he went against his word, didn't kill it all. You had Saul tendencies and your engine is stalling and about to die. You need to come get an oil change today.
Okay.
If you got Saul tendencies, Saul, what is Saul tendencies? Walking in rebellion against God. Whatever that looks like. What is God telling you to do and you head on, mind made up, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to submit. If you roll it like that, you're traveling some dangerous roads. Your engine is about to stall. Your engine about to die. God says, come to me so I can change your oil. Come to me so I can give you new life. That's why any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things passed away, and behold, all things become new. But the longer you leave that oil in there and let that filter get dirty, the longer you leave that oil in there, the longer it affects you. See, the oil change gives us the hope. The oil change we see go from Saul to David gives us the hope that, wow, if God took a no, God took two nobodies. Saul was a nobody too. He said, look here, I'm from the most insignificant tribe. I got the most insignificant family. I'm taller and cuter, but I got no self-esteem. I feel like a nobody. David wasn't even invited, was out there with the sheep. Wasn't even invited to where he would be anointed. God specializes in using people that people think shouldn't be used. Ooh, I thank God qualifies people. Amen. Because if it was up to people, they would have disqualified all of us a long time ago. They would have told us what we can't do. They would have told us what we're not anointed to do. But God qualifies who he qualifies. So I love this, that God uses people in the Bible that don't seem like they should be used. But the common theme they all got is that they chose to obey and follow the voice of the Lord. It don't mean that they did everything right, because David, I don't know what I'm going to get to, but I'm going to deal with David's life. Don't mean he did everything right. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is heart posture. I'm saying that he's committed to God. I'm saying when he was wrong, he really repented and didn't try to make excuses like Saul. That is the oil that is on your life. So if you need to change right now, and I'm being serious, if you need to change and give your life to Jesus for real, like give it to him, like for real, like this is what this is about, giving your life to Jesus.
Yeah.
He can't be an accessory.
Yeah.
He can't be an accessory. See, if he's an accessory, that means you still the main show.
Ooh, Jesus.
See, you only put accessories on to add to what you already got on.
Sometimes you don't.
See, the accessories, you got the jersey, but I got the hat to make it look a little better. I got the jersey, but I want the shoes to match too, so it look a little better. Women have to throw the earring on so it match what I got on, right? The accessories, but they just an addition to the main attraction. And when Jesus is an accessory and you still the main attraction, you can only go so far. You can only get so much from him. We all have to give up our rights. The Bible says to live is Christ and to die is gain. We got to learn to die to ourselves. So if you need to be saved, if you need to give your heart to Jesus, you need to repent of your sins today. And come receive this oil change. My first call is to you, come and give your heart and life to Jesus today. If you need to give your heart to Christ, And God loves you and he cares. He died for you. He sent his son on a rugged cross. He sent his son to be humiliated, to take our pain and our shame. He sent his son to bleed and die for us all so that we can be redeemed. If you are saved and you say, Pastor, I am saved, but there's some things like in this season, I'm tired of playing with God. I'm tired of going around the same mulberry bush. I'm tired of being in the same situation, same circumstance. And you say, look here, in this season, I just want strength to commit to God. And it's 2023. I ain't got time. I don't want to go into 24 and 25 with the same issues, dealing with the same problems. I'm trying to get my commitment level to where it needs to be. That's power and commitment. Power and commitment. Ooh, you see strong marriages, they're commitment. Ooh, you see strong churches, they're commitment. You see strong businesses, they're commitment. Why y'all think y'all go to Chick-fil-A so much? They're committed to good customer service.
Come on.
Committed. There is a blessed strength where commitment is at. So I'm trying to tell you, when you get committed to Jesus, you no longer just committed to him, you will see the benefits at a whole other level. So you say, look here, I just need special prayer. I need my commitment in this season. I wanted to go to another level. God, that's true. We want to pray with you today. Maybe you're a candidate for baptism. Maybe you want to get baptized. Whatever it may be, but I'm telling you now, God is trying to do some things. God is trying to do some things. I'm telling you, the commitment level got to be there. The commitment. Jesus was committed to us because he died for us. It's an old saying, y'all. It says that a chicken and a pig were getting ready for breakfast. The chicken gave the eggs. He was partially committed. The pig gave the bacon. He was fully committed. Yeah, I might hear you next week. Amen. The pig gave the bacon, fully committed, which means he gave his life.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you now, if you want to see God move like you want God to move, you want to see things, and I'm not saying everything going to change in one day, because this ain't no hocus pocus. It's not what I'm saying.
Yes.
But what I am saying is this. If you give your heart and time to God for real, you will experience the peace that surpasses all understanding. You won't be stressed out about whatever's going on. You won't worry about anything but pray about everything. You won't be controlled by that stuff. No. You'll be letting God move in your life and say, look here, God, I trust you. Even if my eyes can't trace you right now, I trust you. Even though what I'm hearing don't sound like it's profitable for me right now, I trust you. And that's what we got to get to, church. We got to get to the point that we trust God with the every being of our life, with our heart, with our soul, with our mind. You got to trust in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. But you got to trust him. What holds us back so many times is that we say we trust God, but when the rubber meets the road, we say we trust God until we get that text message. We say we trust God until that friend stab us in the back. We say we trust God until that job quit us and give up on us. And God is saying, look here, if trust in me was only about sunny days, how would you know what a sunny day is? So you can't appreciate the sun until some rain come in. Yeah, you can't appreciate it. And the truth about the sun is, the beautiful thing about it is that after it rains and the sun comes out, you get a rainbow.
Yeah.
That you can never get a rainbow unless it rains. Amen. So God says, sometimes I got to rain in your life. Sometimes I got to make some stuff seem like a storm, but believe the sun, not the S-U-N, the S-O-N is going to come.
Yeah.
And you will experience the radiant and the beauty of me. But you gotta trust God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. People like Thomas, second of ministry. I wanna pray for all y'all. I'm telling y'all, in this season, you got to trust God. You gotta move past your feelings. Feelings are fickle. Do y'all honestly think, I feel like preaching every Sunday? Do y'all feel like going to your job every time?
No.
Tell me, you feel like one of your jobs all the time. Do you just be honest? I seen Draymond Green talking about Joker. He's in the NBA. Joker said it's a job. And he's like, I don't want to be sounding like I'm a spoiled brat and we make good money, but it's a job.
Yeah.
Coaches get on my nerves, players get on my nerves, trainers and managers get on my nerves. It's still a job. And people get on your nerves at a job. So nobody feels like going anywhere to work all the time. I love what I do. Don't get twisted. I love what I do. But what I'm saying is you got to move past your feelings. Sometimes we get phone calls with bad news. Sometimes we get stuff going on. Sometimes our children got issues. Sometimes stuff is just happening in life. That's life.
Yeah.
You got to move past how you feel and say, God, I don't even care how I feel.
Yeah.
I know where my faith is.
Yeah.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, yeah, but the evidence of things not seen.
Yeah.
The substance of things hoped for. You got to learn to hope. God, you got to hope. You got to have faith and you got to hope. Faith and hope. You got to have hope in God. You got to believe that you got evidence even when you can't see it. That's trusting. That you got evidence when you can't even see it. God loves y'all. God got destiny. He got purpose for y'all. And in this new season, God says, you got to move and you got to trust me, y'all. You got to move and you got to trust me. That means sometimes you got to give up some friends. You got to give up some relationships. You got to give up some places, some stuff. For God to get you where he designed you to have, it has to be an exchange. For God to get you where you need to get to in life, it has to be an exchange. I share my testimony. I bought 250 CDs to the altar. I bought them. God, I can't. I'm never going to quit fornicating. I'm never going to quit smoking weed. I'm never going to quit cussing. If I keep letting all this music get in my spirit, I bought them to the altar. We prayed. Took them to the dumpster. Threw them in a dumpster. But guess what? I heard God loud. My spirit grew that day. I heard them, but I couldn't, y'all understand what I'm saying, I couldn't hear them like I needed to until I gave up something that had a hold of me.
My God.
I couldn't hear him like I needed to until I gave up something that had a hold of me. And so we go, this is real. I know some of y'all got something got a hold of you. And God is saying, look here, I know you like it. I know it may even make you feel good. I understand all that.
My God.
But it ain't better than what I got for you. So many of us forfeit our blessing because we want what's in front of us and don't realize what God got ahead of us. It's time to let it go and it's time to make an exchange, y'all. Woo, Jesus, Jesus. I'm asking you in the audience, man, stretch your hands up here. We're about to pray. Woo, Jesus, Jesus. I feel you, oh God. I thank you for your oil. I thank you, oh God, for who you are and what you're doing. Amen. Thank you, oh God, for who you are and what you're about to do, oh God, in these people's lives, oh God. I just thank you. I praise you, oh God.
Hold it for a second.
Strength. I thank you, God, for commitment. I thank you, God, for growth, oh God. Thank you, God, for a new season, oh God. Thank you, God, for the continued push in her life, Father God. So I'm believing and trusting in you right now, Father God, that you are allowing her up, oh God, for something new. You are blessing her, oh God. You are allowing her for a new anointing, oh God, a new level, oh God, new trust, oh God. Let your word speak to her, God. Let her heart, oh God, be where it needs to be at all times, Father God. I thank you, God, for being able to follow instructions. and submission, oh God, and all the things that you have called her to do, oh God, so you can bless her right now and her family. Cover her with your blood. Cover her family with your blood. Treat them right now, God, as only you can in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah, oh God. Bless them, oh God. I come boldly to the throne of grace, oh God. Thank you, oh God, for strength, oh God, in the time of need, oh God. Speak a level of strength over her, Father God. Thank you for growth. I thank you, oh God, for a commitment, oh God. Thank you, oh God, in this season, oh God. I pray, oh God, for trust, oh God, that she will trust in the Lord, oh God. I come against negative thoughts. I come against negative emotions. I come against lies from the enemy, oh God. We come against it right now, Father God, and say, oh God, those that wait on the Lord, he shall renew their strength. Amen, Father God. So I pray for her to wait on the Lord, and you will renew her strength. They will mount up on wings as eagles. They will run and not get weary, oh God. They will go and not faint. Give her the strength she needs in this season. Her, her children, her household, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Cover her with your blood. You know what your daughter needs, so give it to her, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Father God, bless Charday. Father God, cover her with your blood. You know what she stands in the need of, oh God. I pray, oh God, for her commitment level, oh God, to grow and grow and grow, Father God. I pray, oh God, you will birth new stuff out of her, Father God, that it is more than just a song. She has more than just a song to sing, oh God, and she has gifts, oh God, and she has multiple gifts, oh God. And God said they can't lay dormant no more. God says you got to come and do what I told you to do. You can't be there. You can't be on the sideline. God said you got to get in the game. Singing come easy to you. You got to get in the game. Singing is easy. You've been singing since you can remember. Singing is easy. But God said, I got more for you. God said, I got more for you to do. And when you give me more, your singing goes to another level. When you give me more, your anointing to break will come to another level. When you come give me more, your worship will go to another level. When you give me more, I will do things in you that you didn't think was possible. I will begin to do things in you that you only dreamed about. I will begin to do things that you only prayed about. And that I will bring them forth. But God said, it is time for that season to come forth. But commitment is the key in the name of Jesus. We believe it and we speak it right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father God. I thank you, God. I pray, God, right now, God, that you will bless them. Yeah, Father God. Touch her right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. I pray, Father God, that you continue to give her the strength, oh God. I pray, Father God, you continue to bless, oh God, her heart posture, oh God. I pray, oh God, you continue, oh God, to give her, oh God, all that she needs, oh God. Thank you, oh God, for what she does, oh God. But I pray, Father God, in this season, oh God, you begin to reveal your will to her more and more, day by day and second by second. I pray, Father God, you give her the strength, oh God, to stand up, oh God. Give her the strength, oh God, to be wise. Give her the strength, oh God, that she needs, oh God. Bless her when she may be weary, oh God. Bless Dallas, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Cover him with the blood, oh God, that she may be weary, oh God, and tired at times, Father God. But I thank you right now for the healing, oh God, that's over that young man. I thank you, God, for the blessing that's over his body right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. So I pray right now, oh God, you give her the strength she needs. I pray, Father God, where she feels maybe broken down, maybe she feels weary. I just feel a weary spirit, oh God. So I pray, Father God, where she feels weary, oh God, that you renew, oh God. I pray, oh God, that you begin to replenish, oh God. I pray, Father God, you begin to give her to refocus, oh God. And you begin to refuel, oh God. The word re means to do again, oh God. So I need you to re-up on her faith, oh God. Re-up, oh God, in the ministry you called her for. Re-up, oh God, on her strength, oh God. You need to give her all she needs. I pray, God, you pour back into her. I hear God saying that, Jesus, I hear you, God. You saying that you can't make new wine skin with old wine skin, amen. That you can't make new with old. So God is saying, oh God, give me the new. You can't make new. You can't make new wine skin with old wine skin, says the Lord. Jesus, that you got to give it up to me to make new. That I want to do new in your life and renew your strength, renew your focus, renew your faith. I want to renew and refuel in every area of your life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father God. I come right now, I ask that you bless Bree right now, Father God. I thank you, God, that she's not here by mistake, oh God. I thank you, oh God, that your sovereignty brought her here today, Father God. So I pray right now, you just cover her with your blood, oh God. I pray, oh God, for a life right now, Father God, that you will put a hedge of protection around her in the name of Jesus, oh God. I pray, Father God, you cover her with your blood from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. I pray, Father God, you begin to open up doors for her, oh God. I pray, oh God, you begin to open up her heart, oh God, that she can hear you speak, oh God, loudly and clearly, oh God. I pray, oh God, that her faith is renewed today, oh God. I don't know what she's been going through or what's been going going on, but I pray, oh God, her faith is strengthened, oh God. I pray, oh God, that your word went forth to bless her, oh God, and give her the strength she needs, oh God. I pray, oh God, for commitment in the name of Jesus, oh God, that whenever she stands in the need of, oh God, your word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. That God wants to direct every path that you own, but you got to trust him. Give him your heart, give him your mind, give him your fears, give him your hurt, give him your pain, give him everything that you're going through. He says, trust me with it, daughter. Trust me with it, and I will lead you to where you need to go in the name of Jesus. So I speak life over her right now, Father God. Cover her with your blood. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we believe in that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, oh God. Bless you, oh God. Bless your name, oh God. I cover her with your blood, oh God. I pray, Father God, for commitment, oh God. I pray, Father God, for strength. I pray, Father God, for wisdom. I pray, Father God, for understanding. I pray, Father God, that you flow will flow for a new river, oh God, through it right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, that new life, oh God. I pray, oh God, right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, that in this season, oh God, she draws in what she's been taught. She draws in to what she's learned. She draws in, Father God. I pray, oh God, for a level of focus, oh God, that distractions, oh God, will not delay her or deny her no more, Father God, that she won't be distracted, oh God, that she won't be distracted by people, she won't be distracted by places, she won't be distracted by things, she won't be distracted by circumstances, she won't be distracted. God said, quit letting the devil put distractions in your life. God says, focus on me, keep your eyes on me, your eyes on the prize, keep your eyes on the Son, keep your eyes on the Savior. I get it, things come, I get it, sometimes things hurt, I get it, sometimes things are frustrating, I get it, sometimes things are painful, I get it. God says, I get it, but what I need you to do when that happens, focus on me. Cast your cares upon me, because I care for you. Put it all in my hand, put it all to my ear. I'm never asleep, I never slumber, I'm always awake. Bring it to me, I'm here for you, and I will speak not only to you, oh God, but through you. God said, give it to me, trust me. God said, give it to me, that you have gifts in you, oh God, that he needs use of, and he has gifts in you that he wants to help. He got gifts in you that he wants to help other mothers. And God said, look here, I want to let you use your gifts, but I need you to come and let me use you. Give it over to me. Give it up. No matter if you know you don't understand it. It don't matter if you're like it ain't working right now. You got to allow me to move and work and allow me to do what I need to do in your life. But to do that, you got to hand over the keys. Commitment to me in Jesus' name. Amen and amen, Father God. I pray, oh God, you bless me right now, Father God. Cover her with your blood in the name of Jesus, oh God. I pray for her, oh God, her family, her children, oh God. I pray, Father God, the calling you have on her life, Father God. I feel the weight and the heaviness of it, oh God, the weight and the heaviness over it. But I say right now in the name of Jesus, God said, I've called you for times as this. God said, I've called you to be an example. God said, I've called you to be a testimony. God said, I've called you to help bring people out of darkness to his marvelous light. God said, I've called you. And it gets hard and it gets weary, and you probably don't even understand it right now. You probably can't figure it out. Like, wow, what is going on? God is saying, because I need you in this season. I need your commitment, that people are depending on you, your children are depending on you, that your family is depending on you. You got friends that need Jesus that are depending on you. So I pray, Father God, right now, oh God, you give her the strength she needs. I pray, Father God, right now, oh God, you give her, oh God, the wisdom she needs. I pray, Father God, right now, oh God, for her to lean on you in your unchanging hands. I pray, Father God, right now, Father God, help us, oh God, to be there, oh God, in the way we can, to help, to encourage, to pray for, to speak into, oh God, all the things that she needs in this season. But God is saying commitment is the key. To commit to me in all things. Don't give me 50. Don't give me 75. Give it all to me. Give it all to me, and watch what I give you in return. God said that my return on investment is immeasurable. My return on investment is bigger than you thought it would be. My return on investment is eternal life. So God said, give it to me in the name of Jesus, and I will heal and do what I need to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father, I give God some praise in this place. Give God some praise in this place. He's worthy of all the honor and all the glory and all the praise, y'all. What an awesome and mighty God we serve. Thank y'all for praying with us and for us as we were up here. What an awesome God we serve. Amen. Amen. Well, at this time, we're going to get ready to do communion. Amen.
Thank you, God.
Yes, that's what better way to talk about the oil and then have the cup and the bread. Amen. For this awesome God that we serve. So as our ushers are passing out communion, y'all. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, he wanted all for us. Death couldn't hold him down. That's what we're about to celebrate. Amen. So when you get your communion, please stand as we get ready to honor our King, honor our God.
Seated in majesty.
Ooh, we thank you, oh God, for your faithfulness. We thank you, oh God, for your goodness. We thank you, God, for your grace and mercy.